We're moving into part three, where I want to discuss the responsorial psalm and the second reading from Romans. This psalm is really a Christmas psalm. It's the theme psalm for the Epiphany. And so it's a beautiful psalm. It's Psalm 72. O God, with your judgment, endow the king with your justice. Justice. Now, justice biblically means honoring the truth of every relationship. So God's justice is his mercy. Who else can have mercy on us but God and have it mean anything? Though it's good when we forgive one another. But you see, with your justice, endow the king. Because he looks to you for everything. You see, he shall govern your people with justice, honoring the truth of the relationship. And the relationship to the poor is to care for them. And so the next line says, and your afflicted ones with judgment. So you govern your people with justice, and your people are the afflicted ones. You see this notion of the poor, the anawim. There are places in the scriptures, the Old Testament, where obviously the anawim mean all of God's people. We're all poor. And our claim on God is, we don't have it. We're getting ready to preach. We don't have it. God has to come and help us preach. And so we have this marvelous psalm. You see? With your judgment endow the king. You see? By the way, this is a psalm by Solomon, according to the traditional Lishlomo. Mishpatei lamelech din, that means this, your judgment. And then your tzedek, you see, to the son of the king. And now we move on. Justice shall flower in his days. May he rule from the sea to sea, from river to river. That's the ideal imaginative borders of Israel, from the Mediterranean all the way over to the Mesopotamia. So that's what he's saying here. And it says, you see, again, notice, it's tzaddik. Or tzedek. You see? It's justice. Honoring the truth of every relationship, it shall flower in his day. Can you imagine what would happen if right now we honored the truth, the rights of everybody? We wouldn't be having the mess we've got. You see? And that's why it says, see, justice shall flower in his day, and therefore profound peace, till the moon be no more. Looking forward to this ideal time. And this ideal time, finally we realize, is heaven. But we have a foretaste. Let me anticipate something I'll be talking about in a few weeks. In Hebrews 10:1, we have this line, the law, having the shadow or sketch of the good things to come and not the very icon of the realities. You see the three stages? We have the shadow, the icon, and the realities. Realities, that's heaven. So there are plenty of prophecies in the Old Covenant which are not yet fulfilled because God hasn't finished his plan. We're on a whole other level. You remember I did this last week. You know, the end of days and then new days. These days here are the icon. It's the reality, but not in the mode proper to it to exist. It exists in symbol, the sacraments. You see, the whole life of the church is symbol. So you see, justice shall flower in his days in profound peace, till the moon be no more. That hasn't happened yet. That hasn't happened yet. And this is why we wish that God would be the king of the world and lead everybody to this kind of justice. May he rule from sea to sea and so forth. But you see, this is the ideal king. For he shall rescue the poor man when he cries out, and the afflicted when he has no one to help him. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. This is God the Father now doing this, caring for the poor. You see? And then, after skipping some lines, may his name be blessed forever. As long as the sun, may his name endure. May the tribes of the earth keep blessing with his name. May all the nations regard him as favored. The whole world see who Jesus is. And they will look on him whom they pierced. They will strike their breasts. Our sins killed you. And instead of being angry, you've showered us with mercy. You really are just. You honor the truth of the relationship. You promised to save us. And now you've come to save us. So the reading that goes with that second section, you see, is beautiful. And it starts off, see, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction. Where's that? That's in the Skia. That's in the Old Testament. All of this was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and courage of the Scriptures we might have hope. The Scriptures, you know, when Paul says all Scripture is inspired, it's only the Old Testament. And so he's saying here what the other text said, you see. And may the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another. I want to spend a minute or two on this notion, the Scriptures. The Scriptures which most clearly show forth the second stage of God's plan, the icon stage, is Isaiah. Or Psalm 22. You see? And these are our consolation. The encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. To read Isaiah, to understand, and to understand how God doesn't fool around. You just saw those lines I read to you that were addressed to Zedekiah, who was a crook. A lot of our Lord's relatives, ancestors, were crooks. When we read that long list in Matthew, the genealogy, so-and-so begot, so-and-so begot, sometime if you get a chance, look at who all these people were. And a lot of them were crooks. And they're our Lord's family. He's not ashamed of us because he loves us, okay? So the encouragement of the Scripture is this Old Testament, the Psalms, Hosea. Look at Hosea 11. When Israel was a child, I loved him. Out of Egypt, I called my son. It was I who taught him to walk. I held him up against my cheek. And God is reminiscing the childhood of Israel in this soliloquy. There we see the heart of God. Okay. Now he goes on, Paul, welcome one another. Therefore, just as Christ welcomed you for the glory of God. I tell you, Christ has become a servant of the circumcised, that is the Old Testament, the Jewish people, on behalf of the truth of God. Because truth, you see, is an abiding reality. The truth of God, and that, so he confirms the promises made to the patriarchs. That's his truth. And then, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God, it was written, I confess you among the Gentiles. And so that's the plan. And he's going to move on now to talk about in the community at Rome, Jew and Gentile should get along with each other. They're both part of the body of Christ. What about us? You know, what about us getting along with each other? Respecting each other? You know, loving each other? Trying to win one another over when there's something that we're amiss in? So you see how you have this consolation of the Scriptures. On Good Friday, we read what's called the Fourth Servant Song. What a description of Jesus. And everybody knows that is Jesus. You even have that famous text in Acts when Philip joins the high official of the queen and rides in the chariot and finds him reading that text of Isaiah. And from that text, he preaches the reality of Jesus. This is a different view, I grant you. Sadly, a lot of German scholarship was anti-Semitic. And this has the Old Testament. It's not the Old Testament, it's Scripture. And if you read it, you see the face of Christ. And you hear how you're supposed to care for the poor. This is the meaning, I would say, thinking about preaching on this text, I think I'm going to talk about this reality of the Old Testament, how it is Scripture, and it speaks to us. And there are prophecies there. I have one that I'll look at later, maybe next week, where it says, you know, St. Thomas, there's a line in Isaiah 51 about singing the song in perfect vision. It's not the word, isn't it? St. Thomas said, this is a prophecy. We're not doing this. This is for heaven. So Isaiah is prophesying heaven as well. Okay. That's that famous text then. The part I would preach on, I think, is helping people have greater respect for the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. And encourage them, if we speak in a way that their hearts are open, when they read the Scriptures, they will know the delight of Scripture. They will read it, and their hearts will be enlightened. Just as I said, you know, God instructs us immediately through the sacred text. And so it would be wonderful to preach a bit on that, to help people. But of course, the main thing we have to preach on is the gospel. So we'll move now into the gospel part. It'll be the fourth part of the presentation.